Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the press. It's the Wednesday of PGA Championship Week. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk about some derivative stuff, some prop bets, some matchups. We'll talk about those things. We'll spend a little bit of time on the Mizuho Americas Open. And that'll be the LPGA event for the week. And then there are some odds out there for the Korn Ferry Tour event in Missouri. I guess we'll touch on that briefly as well. But let's start with state of play at the PGA Championship. Just a quick update. Not a lot of huge changes here on the board. Ludvig Åberg did go down to 22-1, which, hey, if you're interested in getting him at that price, you might feel better about it. I don't think I've seen a whole lot change otherwise. Cam Smith's got maybe a little shorter. Tommy Fleetwood, I think, has gotten a little bit longer even, but that's a little surprising. Sahith Theegala, I think, is still at a great price, 65-1. Jason Day, 65-1. But I wanted to bring up something, and I was thinking about this yesterday after doing the show, and part of that is that I talked about the model and how I kind of put it all together, and I deride this idea of using key statistics as some kind of model driven, you know, way of driving your model each and every week. I feel like you should be consistent and then kind of create your exceptions based on what the course is or what the data is or using your knowledge. You don't just change your model every week willy-nilly, changing numbers and fudging them just because you think certain things are going to work. That's not my approach. However, I've heard enough players say in pre-tournament news conferences, this course is long, I'm hitting long irons, you're going to be an advantage to be a longer hitter. And those things are true at every golf course where there's a major. It's typically longer. We don't usually have short major courses anymore. There are some exceptions. Usually tighter, right? The last week at Wells Fargo, pretty wide fairways. Rough was basically non-existent. Not going to be the case this week. Still pretty generous fairways, but because it's meant to be a PGA Tour setup on steroids, not meant to be a US Open light setup, if that makes sense. However, this is a longer golf course, and enough players have said there's enough saturation here, there are enough kind of awkward tee shots that you're not going to get a ton of run out, and the benefit of being a longer, straighter hitter may apply here a little bit more. So, I wanted to talk not about strokes gained off the tee or strokes gained tee to green, but I want to rely and look at an old statistic that is really kind of a dumb one, but is somewhat helpful. And that is what's called total driving. So, total driving is this bizarre statistic the PGA Tour invented to try to, before they came with strokes gained, explain the players who hit it the longest and the straightest. Because total driving is an addition problem. It is the addition of your rank on the distance list off the tee and your accuracy off the tee, or fairways hit percentage. It's those two numbers together. It's not your percentage and your distance, you know, some kind of combination or whatever. It's literally your two ranks in those categories added together. And what do those two things get you? That gets you the total driving numbers. So, wanted to go over those because I think it may apply here. I think it may be relevant. Because if you can hit it long and straight, you should be at a huge advantage, right? If you're going to keep hitting fairways and have wedges in, sounds pretty good. So, who are the leaders in total driving? Rory McIlroy is number one. He has a total of 27. Second in distance, 25th in accuracy. Minwoo Lee, he's second. He's 28. Eighth in distance, 20th in accuracy. Ludvig Åberg is third at 49. 23rd in distance, 26th in accuracy. So, throw in a guy like Grayson Murray, he shows you why this statistic is weird. He's 51st in driving distance, but 11th in accuracy. So he qualifies pretty highly. Nikolai Højgaard is 5th. He's 21st in distance and 49th in accuracy. If you look at Xander Schauffele, he's one of the few players in the top 10 that's pretty well balanced. He's 39th in distance and 34th in accuracy. Cameron Young, 44th in distance, 35th in accuracy. Even though both those guys can hit the mush out of the ball. Matt Fitzpatrick is not balanced. He is 61st in distance and 22nd in accuracy. Scotty Scheffler is 80th in distance, which is not true, and 7th in accuracy. So when you want to look at a breakdown of the statistic, they give it to you at the bottom of the page, usually on the PGA Tour website, although since they redesigned it, they've kind of changed it a little bit. But basically, it's the addition of those two things. Now, that's on measured holes. That's not on all holes. So Scotty Scheffler doesn't always hit driver, right? Ludwig doesn't always hit driver. Cameron Young doesn't always hit driver on those holes. So, yeah, I mean, this is kind of helpful, but I think this also cannot be helpful. But I wanted to look at it for a second just to give you an idea of, hey, maybe here's one thing you could think about that you might be able to draw upon. Guy, and I don't want you to use the rankings as an absolute. That's kind of stupid. What I want you to do is use this as a guide of, all right, who's long and straight? Rory's long and straight. Minwoo's long and straight. Scotty Scheffler's long and straight. Xander's long and fairly straight. Kurt Kitayama, kind of long, not so straight, but top third straight, right? Sam Burns, same thing. Ben On hits the crap out of the ball, but very inaccurate. So if he can straighten it out, great live play. That's why he's playing really well this year. Steven Yeager, surprisingly long hitter, 10th in distance, 96th in accuracy. Shane Lowry, the exact opposite. Number one in accuracy, 105th off the tee. Now, I know he's longer than that. So I'm not saying to use this like it's nothing. Johnny Vegas, you know, is a guy who hits it long, isn't very straight. Wyndham Clark hits it long, not very straight. So if you're trying to build a profile of guys that you think have an advantage here, and you're trying to find value, right, you want to find a guy that's long and straight. That's why Rory McIlroy 7.5-1. Scotty Scheffler's 4.5-1. They're long and straight, okay? So try to think about those types of things when you're looking at all of this in the next 12 hours as you're trying to finalize your bets. All right, let's get into some matchups here. I like tournament-long matchups, but I will share Jeff Seeley. He does Cutmaker Jeff, does the Cutmaker podcast. He's on VSiN fairly regularly, and we follow each other on Twitter or X or whatever. And I don't always agree with his plays. I'm sure he doesn't always agree with mine. But he seems to have this view that Dustin Johnson is toast and is not playing well at all. And so he's going to bet against him a ton. He's also going to try to bet against Michael Block wherever possible. So, you know, fine. That's okay. I mean, yeah, that's one perspective. My general view is I want to look at somebody who either I really like way more than the market might like them in a matchup, or a three ball. I can live with that too. I don't want to look at this round by round. I don't like doing round 18-hole matchups. Too many things can change in one round. And it only takes one hole to screw you up. Case in point, I had Sepp Straka at like plus 160 to beat Matt Fitzpatrick at the Masters in I think the third or fourth round. I can't remember which. I lost by a stroke. One stroke. Otherwise, it would have been a tie. But that's the difference. And there was like one hole where Straka made double and Fitzpatrick made bogey or something like that. That's it. There you go. It only takes one stroke to mess you up. I would rather have the benefit of four rounds, knowing there's a cut in play, that I can have those things kind of even themselves out a little bit more. Not saying that they will. It's not like we're getting a 30-round series, but over four rounds, I feel a whole lot better about it compared to one. That's why I tend to bet those things. So let's take a look at some matchups for the week. And I'm going to look at not 18-hole round one matchups. I'm looking at tournament matchups. And we'll do some tournament three balls as well. Fleetwood versus Cantlay. Fleetwood's favorite, minus 115 against minus 105 for Cantlay. I like that. I'll take Fleetwood there. Justin Thomas versus Wyndham Clark. I think this is a very interesting match because Wyndham Clark, as we just talked about, is a very inaccurate driver of the ball. He's very long, but he's very inaccurate, which is why the U.S. Open worked for him. The fairways were enormous. They worked to his favor. That may not be the case here. Justin Thomas knows his course. He has been poo-poo off the tee and to relative to his standard, but his big bugaboo is putting. I think he does better here than Wyndham Clark does. I like him at plus 100, you know, even money. Ben On and Jason Day is a really interesting one. I'm going to skip it, even though I think Jason Day is the better player. I may come back to that and say take Jason Day at even money against Ben On because Ben On is inaccurate off the tee, even though he is long. Day is playing very, very well overall. Interesting matchup there. Russell Henley against Alex Noren. I like Russell Henley here at minus 120. Been playing good golf, been playing good against great competition, play well in the Masters, play well in the Wells Fargo. He can handle the big ballparks. I like him at minus 120. Cameron Young is even money against Victor Hovland. I think this is an enormous mismatch. Enormous. Cameron Young tends to finish in the top 10 or 20 in majors, even though he kind of wets the bed the second he gets into contention. Hovland is God knows what he's doing right now. That's the level he's at. And you're telling me I can get even money on Cameron Young? Slam it. Let's go. Some other ones that might be interesting, worth pointing out. This is one you kind of have to be a little bit of a sicko to take on, I think. But Joaquin Niemann is minus 150 against Cam Smith, who's plus 125. Joaquin Niemann does not have a top 10 in the major championship. Now, that could happen this week, and it could all kind of start kind of like Max Homa did for the Open last year. But Cameron Smith has been good in this championship two of the last 3 years. I'm willing to ride that, even though I know he's not playing well at all on LIV by his standard, and maybe fading back to oblivion. But I don't really have a whole lot of faith that Joaquin Niemann is that much better than Cam Smith, so I will probably bet on that one. Another one I think is very interesting, Xander Schauffele versus Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm is plus 130 against Xander Schauffele, minus 165. Again, that feels too far off for me. Rahm contends in majors. He's won two of them. He plays well in this tournament. Xander Schauffele also plays fairly well in this tournament, but again, immediately loses his bowels as soon as he gets close to the lead, especially on Saturday and Sunday. I think you might have to take Rahm there at plus 130. That's the menu at DraftKings. You can find other matchups elsewhere. It's going to be hard to find like a Michael Block matchup, for example, but this more than anything, and part of the reason why I don't do matchups is because you have to shop for the right ones. You have to shop for ones where, like that Cam Young one where he's even money and Victor Hovland is no idea how to hit the ball on the planet right now. You got to look for those usually. Not every book's going to offer the same one. So it's a lot of hunt and peck to get what you want. But if you get what you want, man, you've narrowed it down to two players. And if you see a mismatch, drive it home. You're going to have to bet a whole lot more to get the payoff compared to the picking the tournament winner. But if you feel like something's really amiss, you can slam it pretty hard. Tournament three balls, I want to point out a couple of these. Again, this is the whole tournament that you're looking at. Wyndham Clark, Patrick Cantlay, Tyrrell Hatton. Tyrrell Hatton's plus 180. He's played well in this tournament the last 2 years. He is better on this kind of golf course than Wyndham Clark is, and Patrick Cantlay is nowhere to be found. Plus 180, I like that quite a bit. Victor Hovland, Jason Day, Cameron Young. Again, Cameron Young plus 200. The books must feel like he is at some kind of disadvantage here being a longer player, but he does have a huge edge in the majors. I like him at plus 200. Another group, Rahm, Koepka, Ludwig. They're all about the same price. This would be kind of one of those ones I would think about avoiding, right? But yeah, I think it's one of those to kind of avoid. But I want to point this out because this may give you an influence of how you thought about betting Schauffele versus Rahm. So Rahm's plus 170, Koepka's plus 170, Ludwig's plus 175. The next matchup is Scheffler, McIlroy, and Schauffele. Scheffler minus 110, McIlroy plus 200, Xander plus 300, which is pretty reflective of where they are on the odds board for the outright market. But you can't tell me that Jon Rahm would be plus 300 in a matchup with those two if he were there instead of Shoffley. I don't think so. Maybe, but I don't think so. So I see that as a mismatch. I'm going to bet John Rahm try to get that plus money. That's just how I feel about it. Yeah, I think that's going to be it for me. One I'm intrigued by, which is Sahith Theegala, Dustin Johnson, Corey Connors. Connors and DJ are plus 190, Sahith plus 140. I could get behind Sahith there. I could get down on that one. And then tournament groups. I don't like these typically because you got to pick five golfers or pick from five golfers, and I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze, so I will tell you to avoid those. Make miss cut bets are always kind of interesting. Make the cut doesn't seem quite as sexy. I mean, to get plus odds, you got to get down to like Alejandro Toasty, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods. Now, if you think Phil Mickelson's going to play pretty well, and he's been in the top 10 three other times Valhalla's hosted the PGA, but he's also now 53 years old or whatever, then you got to think Phil Mickelson plus 130 is kind of interesting. But all the make cut bets aren't fun. The miss cut bets, those are fun. Now you get to some interesting numbers and you get to some plus money pretty quickly. Patrick Reed, plus 150. Not a U.S. Open kind of golfer. This is a longer golf course. He's not especially long. I could get behind that. Will Zalatoris, I think he could miss the cut very easily. His putting is atrocious right now, plus 175. Dustin Johnson, I could get behind him on a miss cut. I don't think he's toast forever, but he isn't playing good, plus 175. That's not that bad of a play. Depending on what you think of Hideki Matsuyama's back, plus 200 to miss the cut. Kind of interesting. I think Wyndham Clark can miss the cut outright, plus 225. Now, am I going to go slam that with a $100 bet? No, but maybe I'll put a $10 feeler out there on it. So you can get some interesting money on those miscut bets. There's hole props, which, I mean, you're out of your mind. Hole score, nope, we're not doing that. And they do that with all kinds of different groups. Nationality props are kind of interesting. One that was pointed out to me was the top Japanese player. Hideki's plus 105. Kita Nakajima's plus 320. Ryu Hisetsune's made a ton of cuts this year, is plus 360. And Takumi Kanaya is plus 500. He's got to beat three guys if you bet Hideki. But I think Kita Nakajima could do this. I also think Ryu Hisetsune could do this. I would rather bet those two guys and have half of this field and still potentially make money if Matsuyama has a bad week than the alternative and bet Matsuyama and just hope everything holds up. That's just me personally. I like both those guys quite a bit. I don't love tons of nationality plays here. Like top Swedish player, Ludvig's minus 105. That feels like almost a given. Like that should be something you should bet pretty good. Minus 105. I hadn't even looked at that one yet. The Højgaard brothers and Torbjørn Olsen are against each other in the top Danish player group. I think Nikolaj Højgaard fits that mold pretty well. He does do well in the total driving statistic in terms of the indicators. So, yeah, I could see that. That'll probably be it for me on the nationality side. They do have some specials at DraftKings on LIV players, top LIV golfer. You got Koepka and Rahm right up there, then Neiman, DeChambeau. I don't know about all that. Lowest round one score is kind of interesting. Maybe you throw a little bit of money on Bryson DeChambeau plus 800. One guy I will point out here that might be interesting in low round one or low round two score is David Puig. He's played very well on the Asian Tour. He's tried to play a lot of events to get official World Golf Ranking points, and he has done very well in those events. And it has gotten him close to the top 100 in the world. He's plus 3,500 to have the lowest round one score. And then in round two, I assume it's a similar number. It is the same number. That might be an interesting, very low bet, low risk kind of play. But I think that is a very interesting one. Because he's a young player, he hits the ball far, he's been playing good golf. I think he could do something here. Very interesting. So him at plus 3,500 may be my very rare live-related play to this whole thing. And then there are tournament props. We'll talk about that just a little bit here. Any player to shoot 59 or better 151. Oh, no thanks. No thanks. This is an interesting. The big guns, which they're calling Scheffler, McIlroy, Koepka versus the field. -215 for the, you get three players versus the field. Slam the field. I mean, slam it. Right? I realize all the PGA professionals are out. That's 21 of them. I realize there are a bunch of past champions that don't count. You still get 120 players, basically. 115 players that are relevant to three? I think you got to do that. Course record to be broken, +1,200. Pretty sure there's a 63 here at some point, so you're shooting 62. That's hard to do. Tournament winning score, 271.5. That's quite an ask for any major, but I think that's a fool's errand there to try to think that's going to be the case. I mean, you're looking at, it is a par 71, so you're looking at 284, so you're looking at 13 under or better. It's longer though. I could get down with the, yeah, I might be able to get behind the idea of having the under at -140, but even money on over, it just depends on the weather really, but it is soft. I think under would be the correct number. What will the cut be? Over under 143.5. So basically, are you over par or under par? Because 142 is the cut. So is it over, one over? Top 70 in ties. I feel like it's got to be... it's going to be close. It'll be close, I think. I think you might be able to get that over 143.5 to take that even money there. And then wire-to-wire winner, 10-1. Will there be an albatross, 12-1? Those things just don't really happen. Some other random stuff. Winning margin. One stroke exactly is +200. A playoff's +350. Last two times was a playoff and a very close win. I like one in a playoff. Holes in one type of stuff. Will there be one at all in any round? Those are highly negative bets. Hole in one in the tournament, yes, +110. No, -150. I would take no all day if you're going to get into such things. Top senior's an interesting bet, and I have heard this one bandied about. You really got two decent picks here, Phil Mickelson and Patrick Harrington. Harrington's been playing really good on the Champions Tour. It's +150 or +160. I think Harrington's a better play, just personally, but that's just me. And then I think that's it. 72nd hole being a par 5. Will the winner birdie the 72nd hole? Those are both minus money bets. Yes and no. That's how they get you. Like, oh, surely. No, that's a bad value. Don't do that. Versus, if you look at winner to par the 72nd hole, no, -200. Yes, +150. Now, you're probably most likely, I mean, you can make a high number on 18. But the most likely outcomes are birdie, bogey, par, right? Those are your most likely ones. So if you're looking at comparing the two bets, winner to birdie the 72nd hole, no, -110. That gives you par, bogey. Winner to par the 72nd hole, no, gives you birdie, bogey. Well, I feel like then you would want the no on the birdie, right? Because if you think they're going to come down, just kind of hit it down and just make the par and win the tournament. They don't need to make a birdie to win. It's probably the most likely of these outcomes. Now, if you wanted to be really interesting and try to do both somehow, which you're not going to parlay those, but you could conceptually do both. If you thought, I guess a bogey, but I don't know how you, I don't think that's advisable, but you could do both. I think that's kind of it for all the stuff I'm willing to talk about anymore about this tournament. I don't do a lot of these type of derivative bets. I don't find them especially interesting. I love the thrill of trying to get it all right. But we'll spend a couple minutes here on the Korn Ferry Tour event. They're out in Kansas City. Ryan McCormick is 20-1. Trent Phillips and Mason Anderson, Frankie Sappen, who shot 58 last time out, they're all 25-1. Vince Whaley and Sam Bennett, Ricky Castillo, 30-1. Kyle Westmoreland, Austin Smotherman, and Max McGreevy, all 35-1. I would get on Christopher Ventura, 40-1. I like the way he's been playing this year. Frankie Sappen at 25-1, I do like. He's been heading in the right direction. I do like Max McGreevy as well at 35-1. If you want to go a little bit deeper than that, I don't really think it's worth your time to do that. Maybe Cristobal Del Solar at 75-1. He did have a 57 this year. That's enough for me. I don't feel enough conviction about all that. But you do get a good number of PGA Tour experienced players this week, so this could turn into one of those events where, like, Doc Redman's 90-1. He would be, like, 600-1 in a PGA Tour event. He's 90-1 in this one, and he could probably do it, right? Sean O'Hare's been playing pretty okay on that tour. He's, like, 40-some-odd years old, but he's still grinding it out. Might be interesting. Aldrich Potgieter could come out of nowhere at 65-1. He's already won once this season, so maybe those are some guys to think about. Again, not high conviction plays, nothing huge to go after there. On the LPGA Mizuho America's Open, Nelly's playing this week, plus 450. I just don't see the value there. Rozang 16-1 to successfully defend after winning last week. I also don't see a lot of value there. I know they're both great players. I know they're both stars, but man, those values kind of stink. Minji Lee at 22-1 interests me. Hayram Ruh at 22-1 interests me. Leona McGuire at 28-1 interests me. Liberty Nationals, of course, where you've got to be able to keep it in play off the tee. Can't make a whole lot of stupid mistakes. Got to have a solid tee to green game. You got to take advantage of the shorter holes. Hannah Green, 35-1, I think is a great play as well. She's continuing to play well. Gabby Ruffles, 55-1. She's heading in that direction, man. She's going to win eventually. It's going to happen soon. She was the winner of the B flight last time out. 55-1 is just screaming out to me as a good play here. And then after that, that's probably it. Stephanie Kiriakou continues to play well, 110-1. She could be a surprise winner here. I would not be surprised at all if she wins this week. It's an interesting field, but I won't spend too much time on it since we've really just spent a whole lot of the week on the PGA Championship. And I just wanted to give you some highlights here, some players to consider. All right, that's going to do it for us for today's show. I'm going to try to do some kind of live betting version of this for Thursday and Friday, get you into the weekend. This isn't as predictive of a tournament as the Masters is, where it's like, all right, you have to be in the top, 11 after round one or you have no chance to win. This isn't like that. So we will have some more opportunities to consider. And we'll have better data, frankly, from the PGA Tour and the PGA of America to get an idea of who's doing what, especially after rounds one and two, who, if they can turn it around a little bit, can make some big moves. So we'll talk about that a little bit throughout the course of the week. You can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, @RyanBallingy, Facebook, YouTube, Ryan Ballingy Golf, and you can follow on every social handle service, Golf News Net, at the handle Golf News Net. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much for listening to the show.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.